Beware, when you see a Groupon for an amazing hotel, there might be a twist. And then another twist. That kind of undercuts the first one, but you're okay with it because you're just like kind of numb by that point. But when that one happens, it's not really like an aha. It's more of a, oh, that's interesting. We saw old, so you know what that means.
Now it's time for How to Discriminate. We're gonna have a good time, celebrate some failure, not just be a hater, because you know you wonder how to discriminate. Let's wallow in the mediocrity of subpar art. Perhaps we'll find the answer to the question, how did this get made?
Hello, people of Earth, and welcome to How Did This Get Made? I am Paul Scheer, and today we are talking about the M. Night feature film, Old. What do you need to know? Well, I'll break it down simply like this.
What do you need to know?
I mean, really, at this point, a family goes on vacation. They get sent to a private beach where they find out that they start to age rapidly. Hence the title, Old. But I won't say any more than that because that's just the first of many little twists. Please welcome my co-hosts, Jason Mantzoukas and June Diane Raphael. How are you both?
Well, getting older by the minute.
Yeah, every second.
I feel like I'm living this movie. I feel like there was a moment in this movie, and I'm wondering for you guys. I feel like there was a moment in this movie, and it's when Gael, the main couple that we're kind of following, although there's a number of families on this beach with them, the main couple we're following is Vicky Krieps from The Phantom Thread and Gael Garcia Bernal are the married couple. And when Gael's eyesight starts to go and her hearing starts to go is when I was like, oh, I feel like they're my age now. I feel like they're starting to degrade the way I am. And then that's when the movie, like, I was like, oh no, I feel seen by this movie and I don't want to be, you know?
It's so interesting because I kind of connected to it in a surprising way. I don't know when it was made or when it came out, but as someone who feels very much so...
It just came out.
Okay, so as someone who feels very much...
It was shot over the pandemic.
Okay.
Oh, wow. Oh, I didn't know that. Okay.
I auditioned for it during the pandemic.
Whoa, what? To play which character?
Well, Jason, and I told this to June many times last night, I auditioned to play two parts.
Two parts.
Because I first auditioned to play Ken Lung's part.
Ken Lung, who's great in this movie, he plays Jaren, the character Jaren. But correct me if I'm wrong, this movie is essentially, like, to me, a riff on, like, a Lost. It feels very Lost adjacent to me.
No, this feels like
wasn't he on Lost?
Yes.
He's one of the guys that comes in the later seasons, I think, with... not the others, but like, I can't remember, but he was definitely on Lost. And I was like, wow, he's really in on sci-fi, tropical set, mystery box scenarios.
I mean, look, I auditioned to play Ken Lung's part. I didn't know the premise of the film. I was given a hefty monologue about being able to swim and magnets, which was in the film. And I tried to put it together, but I did it in a way where I didn't even have June read with me because it was in that part of the pandemic where it was like, I don't even feel good enough to have June read against me. So I just kind of memorized all my parts and then did it together as like a big monologue.
Oh, God.
So I did
that. That's such a hard way to give a performance, like fully one-sided, where you're just offering your own lines with nothing else to go off of.
I know. And I was in a weird spot and I was like, I'm not going to make June put me on tape for this. And then I got a call and they were like, hey, they like you, but they have this other part. And that was for the hotel manager. And the only line that I had to audition with was like, welcome, so-and-so family, come this way. And that was it. And I was like, pack my bags. I'm going to go shoot this M. Night movie.
Get ready. I'm going to the Dominican Republic.
Nope. Nope. No. By the way, I think this was shot in Philly. This is interesting. This is like a suburb of Philly where this beach is.
Yes, like all M. Night movies.
All M. Night movies
shot in Philly.
Really?
And like all M. Night movies, I was shocked that at the end, Mr. Glass was there.
In the laboratory.
He was right there in the laboratory. And then he walked right up to them on the beach and he said, I'm Mr. Glass, get ready.
I'm going to be so bold as to say something, which is I think I liked this movie quite a bit. I mean, I...
What?
Yeah.
Here's what I'm going to say. Here's what I'm going to say. And I'm I liked elements of this movie. This movie felt like a, there was a lot of strong Twilight Zone kind of vibes to it that I thought was good. I thought the performances were good, but it's too long for a movie that is just about the people on the beach getting older and trying to put the clues together. This movie should not be essentially 2 hours long.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I thought, so obviously I was getting a mani and pedi while watching it. And I, so obviously. I had time.
A step up from we're getting it while we're recording. So this is a good deal. We're learning.
Yes, I got it. You know, and I have, I'm so thrilled that my manicurist and pedicurist has agreed to come up to the bedroom and just do it sort of bedside.
Oh boy.
So
it's a real scene, Jason. It's a real scene. I can't.
To do it bedside is like, that's the statement that is chilling. Like,
whoa, I'll walk into my room and see a whole operation going on.
I
in
was
there.
Always like, oh, I have to be downstairs, like in a living room or a kitchen. Sure. And then I was like, we've been together. Me and him have been together for years now. And then I'm like, okay, why can't I be comfortable? Like, I want to be in my bed. Like, why? And I asked him, I said, do you mind coming up to the bedroom? And he said,
you know what?
And I said,
How much more time will have to elapse for you to be getting a mani and pedi while asleep?
I have like, fallen asleep, Jason.
He comes in.
I did
he
fall just, asleep once.
Okay. He does it while you're in some sort of like sleep state and you just wake up
honestly,
and it's done.
That's my dream.
That sounds great.
That's my dream.
Put on a sauna blanket.
Because we had an incident one time. I will not bore our listeners with what happened, but something happened with my nails. And so it ended up taking almost 3 hours. It was 11:30 at night and I did fall asleep.
Oh, well, that seems a bit more.
And
3 hours.
It was great because he could
work
on the hands.
How long is manicure and pedicure?
It should only be like an hour and a half, 2 hours.
I mean, he is here for a long time.
That's a longer time than I would think.
A lovely man who is here in our house. He seemingly comes at like 7 o'clock at night and leaves at the witching hour. Like, I mean, it is.
The witching hour. Ooh, that's right. I guess it still is spooky season.
Yeah, I like a spooky season.
But, you know, I was getting a mani and pedi. So it's like one of those things where I have my hands tight, like I can't look at my phone, can't be distracted, honestly can't get up and like walk around. And so I was sort of trapped there with this movie and I felt so relieved.
You were watching a movie.
Well, I guess, or you could just say
trapped with a movie. Meaning I couldn't watched do anything it. To distract myself from the movie, which normally I do.
I do because I'm so sorry, but these movies are usually very hard for me to get through. And
right.
They are. Jason and Paul, you both. Paul, I barely see you.
I don't disagree.
Up. Yeah, this means they're really hard. The work we do and
taking
suffer
notes.
Through.
Yes, I agree with you, June. We're heroes.
We are. We are. I
Why
think,
aren't people banging
and
pots and pans when we're done with a podcast? That's what I ask.
So it's usually really hard for me, but this went down. Oh, so smoothly. So smoothly. Okay. I love the way it looked. I enjoyed it. And honestly, so what I was going to say, Paul, before you interrupted me with your audition story and all of the parts you didn't get.
Oh, my God.
I was going to say that I actually did connect to this movie in terms of feeling like the pandemic has robbed us of time.
Yes.
And especially
yes.
for someone like me who is in the prime of her life.
Wow.
And firing on all cylinders in every way. And to feel like I had to, stop. And that time was taken from us, that a lot of time was taken from us. I really did connect to it and enjoyed it. Now, I couldn't tell you what happened at the end and what the twists on twists on twists really were and why. But
I bet you probably could figure out pretty much what it is. It's pretty basic. So
they're just medical. They're doing medical experiments on people. Right.
Yes. But because of the properties of this beach or this cove or whatever,
they can test
medicines
faster.
What has
gone on in Hollywood that we have just committed to fucking magnets? James Bond magnets, Fast 9 magnets. Everyone's got fucking magnets. We are like,
what do they know that we don't know?
Why?
What do they
like,
know
why
that
has
we
everyone
don't know?
Been like, how about some magnets?
I mean, but then a part of me was like, would more people take the vaccine if we had trials take place at that island?
So interesting.
Yeah. All right, let me just
Would
tell you
more
something.
People feel comfortable if they knew that people had died.
No one
quickly,
knows about this island.
Very
no
quickly.
One knows. No. Okay. Here's the thing. I think the reason why I didn't get the parts is because
wait, are we still on your audition?
Yes. Oh, no. Yes.
Do you want to drop your tape in here?
Because
now do you want to just drop your the audio of your audition tape in the
I went to
pod?
Go look for it because
you did.
I went to go look for it. I was like, I'm going to
you saved them?
Oh, I mean, they're probably on a Dropbox somewhere. Here's the thing. The reason why I don't think I got it is because I wasn't weird enough. This movie, everyone is weird. Like, are they sweet and are they weird? Are they weird? Are they weird? Like, my baseline is off because everyone appears to be weird from the minute you meet them. Like, they all look a little dead. The hotel clerk is a little like, I'm like, there's no twist when everyone looks fucking weird. Everyone's standing and staring and looking.
He does that thing where everybody has a secret.
Yeah.
Everybody has, you know, like literally like characters have secrets that we don't need them to even really have, you know?
Yeah.
And
Molly,
you know,
just
like,
put my audition in the Dropbox, by the way.
Oh my God. Incredible. Incredible. Should we watch it?
I'd love to
it. Probably is terrible. It was at the height of the pandemic. I'm alone in a white T-shirt trying
I'm sure
to take myself.
Any auditions I did during the height of the pandemic are mostly just me sobbing on camera, no matter what. I also, and I connected with this movie similarly, June, because I feel like here we are. It is already November of 2021. Mm-hmm. Like the last 2 years essentially have evaporated from underneath us. When I look at myself, I look older. I feel older. My eyesight is getting worse, has gotten worse. Or I need to get a new prescription. Like all of these kind of markers of the aging process are so present and so and in the last few years and have been moving so quickly that when that started to happen, especially again to the Gael and Vicky Krebs characters, I think because they're closer to my age, when their aging started to really kick in, I was like, fuck, this movie is really about getting old. And this movie is about confronting those issues. It's not a good movie. Let me be clear. It's a bad movie, but it is playing with things that I found very compelling.
I did too. And I found them to be pretty haunting because I felt the same, like, oh, we've all aged so much because of the trauma that we have collectively been through as a global community. And so it feels like not only did it remind me of just aging in general and the struggles of aging, but also the fact that it feels through the course of the pandemic that has been time has sped up.
Yeah.
And slowed down. It's a very weird feeling of like because of the amount of collective trauma that we've all experienced, January 6th, the Trump, the election, Black Lives Matter, all of it, like it has aged us.
But let me just say this, right? I am the person that will cry. I was crying before this movie started thinking about, oh my God, to see my little baby go from like a 5-year-old to like a 25-year-old would be like
devastating.
Well, the moment that made me cry that I was going to mention to you guys, because I feel like you would have access to this more, is when the daughter who early in the movie as a young girl is singing quite beautifully on the bus. Mm. And then when she's an older, like, I don't know what she's meant to be, maybe late teens, 20s age actor is now playing that character and she's singing, but Vicky Krebs has become too deaf to hear her child sing. You know, she's not able to hear her daughter sing anymore. Like losing those connections.
First of all, I didn't realize they were played by different actors. So the speech isn't real.
Oh, the beach isn't real. Yeah. This wasn't a documentary.
Oh, wow. Okay. Okay. This is interesting.
One of the things that I did think worked for me was I thought the replacement of the child actors with increasingly older actors.
Yeah.
I thought they did a great job with.
I will tell you the one thing I didn't think they did a great job with was, I feel
when,
like some of the
when
older
Crystal's
actors,
bones cracked upside down in the cave.
Oh, I mean that
why is this happening to
her?
This
is like Suspiria, but there's a moment here where our lead character, like when he gets older, is like,
Now I'm talking like this.
Oh,
like,
yeah. Garcia Bernal does an old man voice. Yeah, that's true.
Here's the thing.
He's
I just want to.
Were we fighting about something? I don't remember.
I just think, like, the thing that is driving me nuts about this movie, first of all, you set up this whole world, and I get the idea. Like, there's so many things at play, right? One, which is, and I think it's important to note, you like, this movie is the most clunky-ass dialogue I've ever seen in my life. Everyone not only says who they are, but their profession. It feels like
so that as a device, the young boy, when Trent, the boy, is at his youngest, he runs around asking everybody, what's your name and what is your profession?
And be like, I'm a cop. I'm a dancer. I'm like, what the fuck is going on?
Well, that's the thing about M.H. Shyamalan movies
is
they are so, they're written as like exposition dumps, like just as dialogue, you know what I mean? Like everybody is speaking text, not subtext. Everything is just out in the open. There is no, it feels like people are talking to each other the way that strangers talk to each other, not married couples for, you know, decades.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Everything is on this weird baseline, but I want to play just a montage of everyone saying who they are and what they do.
Oh,
it did feel like Sesame Street to me.
What are your names and occupations?
I'm Midland. My uncle's the resort manager here.
I'm an actuary. I calculate people's insurance rates based on their risk profile.
I curate exhibits for museums. I'm not a forensic pathologist.
You're a police officer.
I'm Patricia. I'm a psychologist.
Hi, I'm Trent. This is Idlib. What are your names and what do you do for a living?
Oh, well, I'm Sophia Watson. I'm a chef.
I'm Greg Mitchell. I'm a cop.
Cool.
And I'm Maylin Mitchell. I'm a dancer.
What's your name?
Mitsarsade. And I guess there's two things at play, right? Because you meet these characters and they're like, you live too fast. You live too slow.
Too
you
furious.
Live just right. You know, like everyone's like kind of setting up these baselines of what
well,
they're going to
get. The main couple, like I said, Gael Garcia Bernal and Vicky Krieps are in the process of separating and they haven't told their kids yet. This is going to be like their last vacation before they tell their kids they're splitting up and that the mom has a tumor.
Right.
And they're fighting and, you know, like it's so, like I said, there's no subtext. They literally, one says to the other, you live too much in the past. You only care about the future, you know, is the reply. Like, like, oh, okay. So I guess this movie is about time.
I mean, one of my favorite moments is when Vicky Krieps says like, when people start to age, she goes, I work in a museum, so you know I'm not hysterical. I'm like, wait, hold on. Why does working in a museum mean that you can't emote?
I guess, I do think M. Night's, I think the thing I struggled with the most really was the portrayal of women and how they age, specifically that one woman.
The calcium woman?
Crystal?
Yeah, because I'm like, it does.
You're talking about Rufus Sewell's wife, right?
Yes.
So, the woman who has to take calcium pills?
Yes. Yeah, she has to take calcium pills, which is, I guess, why her bones did that at the end. I don't really know.
I couldn't figure out why her bones did it, but I'm assuming, but yes, I believe it's meant
calcium.
To be related. Yes.
But she's sort of set up as a woman who's completely vain and obsessed with how she looks. And it seemed like as the kids are aging, and the kids are aging much more rapidly because of how kids develop and grow over a year's time. But it seemed like the kids were also mentally aging.
Well, this is what I was trying to figure out.
Two things. And what bummed me out so much about her and about M. Night's view of young women was like, oh, she's so vain. And as she's aging rapidly, that doesn't change. She's never able to look at her body and think, oh, this is just a vessel. I shouldn't be so vain. I have more to offer. This isn't as bad as I thought it was going to be.
Well,
I'm learning something about myself. It was just like,
that's the wonky part of this movie is like some people feel like they're only there for a day, right? And and they're aging so rapidly and it feels like aging is giving them wisdom, but wisdom is only given through a life lived, right? Like, so they're not like learning anymore.
Can I
quote
like, you on that, Paul?
So beautiful.
It's actually wisdom something that I have said in my given. First book.
Maybe yeah. if you'd brought that to the audition, you would have gotten the part.
By the way, I did find the audition. We'll play it at the end.
Okay. only given through a life lived.
And that's why when they do this weird moment.
I don't feel the same way I felt yesterday or this morning, and I don't think my parents would understand. My thoughts have more colors in them now. Yesterday I had a few colors and they were really strong, and now I have more and they're quieter.
She says that now she sees more colors, but those colors are muted. And I'm also like, what does that even mean about
Well,
aging?
You're right.
Yeah.
They don't give really, and to speak to your point, June, about Crystal and also all of the other characters, almost none of whom are given any interiority except for our main family,
right?
We don't understand Rufus Sewell. We don't understand Crystal. We're not given access to Midsize Sedan. We're not given access
mid-sized
to...
Sedan.
I mean, like...
Is that
these
a
are,
joke? I mean, that is a joke, right?
Well, when they first said it, I thought so. And then, but it's true. His name in the credits is Midsize Sedan. Later, he says his name is Brendan, but...
Right, no, but I mean, I felt like, why... Like Midsize Sedan, like...
I feel like M. Night is writing this movie being like, oh, his name, his rap name is Midsize Sedan. I'm, you know, like, I'm crushing it.
Yo,
crushing
did you
it.
See Hatchback and Midsize Sedan last night on Veracruz? That was off the hook. Oh, I like Kia more than them.
Kia. Anyway, like, I feel like nobody is given any kind of, except for our main family and our main couple, and they seem to be aging with wisdom, to your point, Paul,
yeah.
and with by examining their personal histories and all this kind of stuff, we're given access to their inner lives, and nobody else are we. Everybody else
no.
is super broad strokes.
Yeah.
Rufus Sewell is a racist. You know, Crystal is vanity. They are almost embodiments of like,
wait,
like the seven deadly sins.
I thought
he
was just mentally ill.
Yeah.
Well, I felt like he was treating Midsize Sedan frequently as the only black man, as if he was trying to steal from him or as if he had killed the woman that he was with. He kept attacking Midsize Sedan in a way that was,
he did
to me,
stab
felt
him in the
racist.
Face.
And to me, yes. felt like it was racially motivated. But maybe, I don't know, if you
no,
guys didn't
I,
read
I
that,
think
maybe
that-
I...
Well, I thought that at first, and I kind of thought that that was supposed to be a little bit of a misdirect, that we thought he was just racist, not just, but racist. And then as the movie went on, we realized he's going to lose his career and everything he's worked toward because he has this raging mental illness.
He has schizophrenia,
illness. He has schizophrenia, and he's trying to murder everyone.
I yeah. mean, he becomes mixed. He just becomes a stabby. I mean, he's stabbing everyone at all times. And I would say that one thing about this movie that I did love was
stabby.
It was a beautiful representation of mental illness. And it really
a compassionate thoughtful examination.
Yeah, almost like that Anthony Hopkins movie, The Father, just really got you in there. I mean, his mental illness just became like stabbing. And they had this like exposition line later on. Where it's like, I don't think we should put the mental illness people with the sick people, which is also like when they are doing this test, it's like, okay, so wait, hold on. You're just like throwing. So everyone takes one pill and that one pill will, like, it also is a bizarre idea. Like that one pill sits in their body for the 24 hours and that's how they determine like the course of it. So if you were to take like one dose of chemotherapy, you could see if it could cure
Wait,
your
so
cancer.
You're saying so when they got their initial cocktails,
yes.
that their pill
yes.
was in there. So but
that
other people
the
that they're with don't take anything.
No, they all have their own thing, mental health that they all have their
no, no,
own
no, but
weird
like,
oh
but
so
their
like,
family
yes,
members,
you're right.
like
yeah,
the
so
kids
like
didn't
Jaren,
take the pill. Yeah.
Jaren wasn't given any kind of
right.
medicine. His wife was. You know, they cured her epilepsy.
Okay.
Vicky Krebs has the tumor, but Gael Garcia Bernal doesn't have any illness inside of him.
Well, he has a weird thing with his throat to make him talk like this.
He has old man voice. He's stricken with old man voice. But, you know.
But what a terrible way to do it. Like, what if I'm the resort manager, which I should have gotten that part, I would have.
Why let people with children?
Well, that's.
I
why,
don't know.
Why not separate them?
There have to be
separate them.
There have to be a single people that you can, if you're going to do this, it is truly morally corrupt to do it with people with children, you know, but that seems to be like exactly what they're doing.
I mean,
you know,
go erase their hard drives, make sure you never get.
Yeah. And they find like the dolls in the sand and it's like, well, oh, my God, this is like it's always got kids. Why?
By the way, I did love the way the kids spoke to each other because I thought, here's my big thought. And I was like, this is going to be the best twist that that little kid that talks to our main boy was going to turn out to be M. Night. Like that M. Night, like aged.
Oh.
I was like, ooh, that would be so fun. That's why he doesn't have any friends. And that would have been like a fun twist because like, I felt like there was something there. But
M. Night, if you're worried, M. Night is in this movie.
Oh, big time.
Big time in this movie. And when it's like him looking through the camera, I was like, oh boy, come on, guy. We can't be doing like, look at me. I'm the filmmaker looking through a camera.
Hitchcock used to just walk through a frame. We don't need the whole, we don't need a whole scene.
We don't need a whole thing where you're like, look at what I'm doing. I'm doing the thing on screen that I'm doing off screen.
But here's my question.
I didn't even think about that.
When that little kid says that his uncle doesn't like the coral and sends our like hero family that note, is he trying to warn them?
Yes.
Oh,
okay,
so
because
he knows.
When we come back to them and to that kid, it doesn't seem like he really knows.
He doesn't know. He just knows his uncle doesn't like the coral. He just does, but he doesn't know what's going on.
He knows also that all of his friends disappear because, as you heard,
and
that
never come back from that beach.
And never,
excursion.
No, I mean, I think
God, that's horrific.
Because this medical research company is in the business of killing.
By
children.
The way,
and so this medical research company, so they are attracting. I was a little confused about how people got to this resort.
Yes.
Like they were just, it just felt so happenstance.
They
like
were
she
targeted.
Saw it in a Facebook.
They were targeted and no, they were given a, they were awarded a, she said it was a sweepstakes that she was told she won.
All right. So this hotel.
So the hotel is a normal hotel except for these
handful
patients.
Of people is it staggered that every day, like everyone in that hotel.
I don't know how often a trial begins. They're only on trials.
I would love to just see some of the books.
You'd love to get in those books. This is trial 77, so unclear.
By the way,
happened 77 times.
For trial 77, this shouldn't happen.
Because of this beach, we have been able to save hundreds of thousands of lives with new medicines. Before we're done, it will be millions. We do trials and fail constantly, but not today.
One of this cohort was a woman with the epileptic seizures. Her name was Patricia Carmichael. She suffered debilitating seizures her whole life. Nothing could help her. The medicine we gave her when she arrived turned out to be the exact mixture. She didn't have a seizure for 8 hours and 17 minutes. 16 and a half years. We cured her of her epilepsy. We'll now fast track trials, make that medicine, and share it with the whole world. Every single person that needs it.
They're applauding as if, like, this is new information. Like you said, it's trial 77. At this point, I don't think you're applauding another successful day of killing multiple.
No, what they're applauding is that
the
drugs for epilepsy worked. So they now have a viable cure for
epilepsy.
But
they've also killed a tremendous amount of people.
Oh, they've killed all these people and have, like, hard drives full of watching them die, kill each other and then die grisly deaths.
See, Paul, this is why you didn't get the part, because you couldn't really understand this moral quandary and how many people's lives could be saved from that epilepsy drug.
Well, look, I get it. I just don't think that you need to put other kids at risk. I think, like, let's separate
I think it's worth it. I think it's worth it.
By the way,
ends justify the
means. I thought it would have been interesting, again, if that little boy was a remnant. Like, he was like, you didn't go with your family on that trip to the beach. So now you stay here forever. You know,
Well, I also was like, Trent, you know, goes from being a 6-year-old kid to being like a 50-year-old man in the course of the day. I mean, obviously, he's still a 6-year-old kid.
But he isn't.
But, you know, and he isn't. But, you know, he ends the movie as a 50-year-old man, but was a 6-year-old kid just
the day before.
Anyway, regardless. It takes him so long to remember that he has a note from the kid at the hotel. Like, one of the things that bothered me in this movie was they never do an inventory of what they have.
Well, they got all that food.
Like, they've got all that food. They've got stuff that I'm like, find the note earlier. Like, you have,
yeah,
so you have something here. You, why wouldn't you ever think to? I know a lot's going on. Listen, I get it.
No,
you, a lot.
You were 6 years old.
4 year old is giving birth to a baby.
You had a baby
instantly,
and then the 6 year old has to bury.
You like, had sex with a kid, and then had a baby that died instantly.
Instantly.
Then you watched your girlfriend fall off a cliff and die. Then your parent. You know, I get it. A lot's happening. But nonetheless, look at the note. Come on, guys.
There's a lot to be going on.
I didn't understand why that baby died. She said she put it down for a second.
Because they put it down for a minute, which to the baby was hours. And they said the baby died because nobody paid attention to it.
That seems like a crazy diagnostic call to make. Like, how do they know that?
I think, I don't know. I think that's
what they decide. There are a bunch of scientists and dancers and librarians.
Well, you
like,
know, one is a nurse, one is a doctor.
One's a rapper.
One is an actuary.
Oh,
one
the
works
actuary.
In a museum.
When he talks about a kid's getting hurt on coffee tables.
Oh, my
that
God.
That actually gave me the most pause in this entire movie. But yeah, there was...
I was very hurt on a coffee table.
But I guess this is like my issue with it is like, well, if that baby was...
Wait, I don't remember that. What did they say about kids and coffee
when they first go into the room.
Most children get hurt, like 95% of childhood accidents are kids and coffee tables.
When June and I were in Montreal, we were put up in this very nice... house or apartment, I should say, and it was very modern, and every table had such an edge that we were going around taping table edges and
tennis balls.
We were like taping t-shirts to the corners of
tables. It was
tables
just like watching them like,
I get it now.
In
yeah.
bunches.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Well, Sam had just learned how to walk too, and his literally every point, it was a super modern apartment,
so modern.
Every point was like a sharp edge and like same eyeline.
It's interesting that's where Sam learned to walk, because I often think that he walks like a Canadian.
He does. I mean, that's one of the things. That's one of the things that people say a lot.
That's why we put braces on him.
Forrest Gumped him.
That's right, Canada. We have to fix our kids' legs when they come back here because you're ruining them.
They're walking too relaxed.
I don't know if any of our listeners have seen my Instagram, but I'm still, for some reason, it says I'm based in Canada and I can't escape it.
Wait, what?
I don't know why. It says I'm based in Canada
on Instagram.
It says that. Congrats. Thank you. But I don't
Canada's brought you in.
To get it off.
Canada has claimed you, I believe.
I think that was one of the deals that I made.
You are one of what they call a disputed person.
When I left the country with the kids without you, I think I had to give you to Canada. That was a part of the part of the deal I made with customs. I will just say that there, like, first of all, go back to the calcium woman for a second.
Crystal,
who does a great job. Again, I think every one of these actors is like trying to ratchet up these lines. And I think the acting is actually very good.
I will say
it was odd that, like, I feel like she did that thing where she's like, I have one wrinkle. And she went in the hid in the cave. Right.
Well,
like,
she put a blanket over her head and was like, don't look at me. I was like, what is this? This is crazy.
What was that thing that you and Jessica were, June, in the Christmas episode? The crone.
Crones in training. Yeah.
A little crone. She was a little crony.
Yeah, I thought she did a great job. I thought, you know, all the performances, especially, I will say again, the kids, I thought were very compelling. I think this movie really could have fallen apart. What did you say?
When you saw Vicky Krebs acknowledge her son's giant bulging crotch, like that's how she saw that he got older.
I thought she was recognizing that his shorts didn't fit at the waist.
Yeah, that's what I thought too, Paul.
You thought? Oh boy, Paul.
It's so crazy to think about the fact that our eyes never grow. You know, like our newborn eyes are our same eyes, but our noses
like we lose
are
our
always
teeth.
Growing.
We lose our baby teeth and get adult teeth, but we don't get adult eyes.
Those kids should be losing teeth. They should be spitting teeth during some of this.
Yeah, like, they should have.
Yes.
Yeah. They should have.
I did think that them having sex on the beach was, again, this is where I don't really understand, because if he's a 6-year-old kid at the end, and when he's a 50-year-old man, he's like, hey, we're going to bring you back to your aunt. He's like, oh, great. Yeah, I'm sure that my aunt's going to want to see the 50-year-old. Like, he's so bitter and, like, you know, he's not like, there's an element to him.
Wouldn't you be too?
But not as a 5-year-old.
But he's not mentally a 6-year-old anymore. That's
the
difference.
He's not. They have a line of dialogue that explains it from the Kara character. She says, I'm thinking differently too.
Yes.
Like, I'm having
that's the color thing, right? where she's like, I'm seeing things in different colors.
Oh, is that
now?
What she said? Okay, maybe you're right. Yeah. Maybe you're right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. They do try. Again, it's wonky. And this is the part that's hard is like, yes, like they are aging. The kids are aging. And M. Night definitely wants them to be confronting more adult things. So he can't have like a 6-year-old intelligence inside of a 16-year-old and then a 50-year-old. He has to kind of let, he's having his cake and eating it too, because I agree. The version of the movie that makes the most sense, I suspect, would be of the 50-year-old man with the mind of a 6-year-old.
Yes,
you know what I mean?
Yeah,
or
absolutely.
Whatever. That, their bodies age, but how does the beach age their minds? That doesn't make sense.
Well,
you know?
that's what I feel like, because some people are aging in a way where, I don't know. And why did Kia Sorrento have a bloody nose in the beginning?
He had a blood clot disorder. So they were experimenting on him as well.
So, but I mean, but that just means that he would just have a slightly bloody nose, because it's just like kind of just, it's not, it doesn't seem like.
Well, I think his blood, his wound, whatever was blood,
it
was clotting.
Okay.
So,
then it would be
and
running.
That's.
Or then, oh, so it wasn't clotting, and then he took the medicine and it did start to clot, and that was how we knew it was working.
I don't think his was working, because they say we didn't get a chance to get good results on him because the schizophrenic, mentally, that was the guy's case for we shouldn't allow right. mental illness patients in because the schizophrenic killed our clotting subject. You know, so we have insufficient data on that medication because he was killed too early. Mid-sized sedan was killed too early.
I'm going to be a broken record about this, Niels. We should separate the pure medical subjects from the mental illness subjects. Our violent schizophrenic patient cost us the data on our blood clot patient.
Sydney, I doubt we'll alter protocol at this point, but put it in a form and submit it to Warren again.
But the girl also died very early, who also had the same blood clot disorder. Right, because she got on the beach, but she
had
in the
something
water.
Else. I think she had a different. I
but
think
I thought
she had
that's how they
else.
Bonded
no,
over their
they
disease.
Both have, they both had MS.
Oh, did they both have the same?
Yes.
Okay,
yes,
okay.
That's
sorry,
how they
I misunderstood.
Connected through some sort of.
Got it.
But if you go in the water, you just disintegrate.
What do you mean?
Because they find Ken Lung in the water and he's dead and then she was in the water.
Oh, I think that their thinking is Ken Lung swims out, goes unconscious, the same as what happens
right,
in the
yeah.
cave, and then drown.
Okay, yeah. So that girl, then what happened to that girl? She took
I'm
off her clothes.
I'm assuming the same.
But she didn't know she was trapped in that island. She just went out too far.
Either that or she aged into her own natural death due to her,
just natural
her illness. Her illness or her whatever, you know, like what I couldn't, the one thing I couldn't figure out was how, because mid-sized sedan and the blonde woman whose name we never learn, the skinny dipping woman.
Yes.
They seem to be on the beach the night before, right?
Yes.
So
yes.
They're on the, they've already been on
he
the beach for
he
a full
been
day.
A lot older.
Yeah. I couldn't figure out why mid-sized sedan didn't know more of what was going on, because it seemed as though he had been there longer than everybody. Were there other people when he got there? Maybe, I guess not.
No, they seem that they went at night.
Yeah.
I feel like I don't know. There's a lot of like, again, as the hotel resort manager, I would have staggered it a little bit better. I would have made sure that people got there at the right time. And
not your call to make. Really.
Okay, well, I mean, I would have talked to M. Night about it. I will say that. I mean, and again, I'm not trying to like unpack. It's a Twilight Zone episode, and I think that's really fun.
Yeah, if you poke too many holes in it, it's going to be not fun.
But I guess like there's something about it where I'm like, what was hard about this movie for me was what I think what you're saying, Jason. There's too many things that they're trying to do, which is sort of like that moment where the husband and wife like confront each other. And he's like, I read those texts from that guy. I can't believe that you texted that guy. Like they're aging rapidly throughout the day. You would think that he would drop that petty thing of seeing a text from this other guy. But I guess that hung with him so much. Like, I feel like in a world where life is passing you by, these people are getting caught in the weeds a lot more than just trying to enjoy. Like,
well,
they're basically
I think
like,
about
they
it.
Needed to work that out so they could die together peacefully.
Okay.
And
okay.
I think so. I also think like, again, like their entire lives are happening in a matter of hours. Their children are they're watching all of these deaths occur. So yeah, I don't know if they can peel off to be like, hey, I know that you were cheating on me, you know, but they do have that Yeah, I thought that moment was sweet, you know.
I liked it.
As they get older, kind of demonstrably older in those final moments.
I like that moment, too. I think that the thing I felt I really related to, sorry, Paul, was when I thought it was actually quite beautiful when he was like, I don't know what we were fighting about, but yeah. I'm not mad anymore. I thought that was so beautiful. Like, none of those fights that.
Yes.
You think are so important and in the moment of whatever, the frustrations of the day, disappointments of the day, like nothing really matters. The end. I thought that actually, because I couldn't connect emotionally to the kids, which was surprising because I always can.
I know. That's what I thought, too.
I was like, I came up real empty there, but I did connect to the couple and what they were going through. Yeah,
I did too. And not because of the coupleness of it, but because of the aging of it. And exactly like you're saying, the time eroding all of those things and those feelings and those things that you think are so paramount and so important. And you know, like the ocean washing the sand away or turning the cliffs into sand.
This
like
is where
those things don't matter. Go ahead.
Yeah. But I guess this is like where I'm really fighting it. Because I do agree that scene was well done and appropriate for a story like this, but yet to tell me, like, are their bodies aging or are their minds aging? Because if their bodies are just going, but their mind, and I think this is where I've gotten confused, and I know I keep on going back to it, but I will say that, like, when that boy comes out with the girl and she's pregnant, he's like, look, she's fat. So his mind has not progressed to a teen at that point, because a teen would understand pregnancy. So, like, there are moments where, like even the
calcium
woman.
That's where I say
woman,
I think he's having his cake and eating it too. I think when he wants them to be still kid-like to benefit from that innocence and innocence lost, he has it. And then when he needs them to be slightly older to have like a heroic moment or a moment of breakthrough, he allows them to be older. And I, you know, like there, it's not. This is where the movie is a failure for me. You know, is if it could have been half an hour shorter, much more economical, and been a tighter story and a much more satisfying story, I think. But it's so bloated, and in its bloat, it gives stuff. It just is. It's messier. It's messier inside of the story, inside of all these characters. It's just messier because he's kind of giving you competing information.
I would love to see a sequel, though, where they have to go on trial, like Big Pharma has to go on trial with these people. And then they have to explain. Well, yeah. Well, technically, all right. Hold on. Now, like, because I do feel like there is an element of this movie that, like, I don't know what I'm rooting for, because I think the Twilight Zone idea in my mind would be that if you had a chance to see your whole life in front of you in a day, you would change the life that you live. Right. Like that's a little bit
Fantasy Island episode.
Right.
If this was an episode of Fantasy Island, which was a TV show when we were kids, or at least when I was a kid.
Yeah.
That also functions a lot like this. You know, people who have problems or whatever, they land at this resort and the resort sends them on like a
journey,
supernatural adventure that solves whatever their problem is. And this felt like very much like that.
But at the same time. I don't know. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to derail and unpack it.
I think you're really turned around, Paul. It's hard to know what your reading of this movie is because so much anger and resentment is coming through because you didn't get the role as the.
You know, I think that's probably June is speaking the truth here. I think one of the things that made this movie hard for you to get on board with, Paul, is the resentment that, you know, your performance, which again we will all see at the end of this recording.
I'm so nervous. It's gonna be terrible.
You know, you me. Just know you have it out for this movie. And I got some things.
Do you think your role, all the questions you have and all the confusion you have, do you think you playing that part would have solved all that?
Yeah, I do, because I would have rolled up my sleeves, I would have gotten on that beach with M. Night, and I would have said, listen, my friend, let's break this down. We would have been in Philly over cheesesteaks.
How happy are you? You didn't have to do all that swimming. By the way, a movie in which multiple people while swimming are bumped into by corpses.
That first one got me good.
That first one got me good, too. But that, I was like, this would not happen like this.
It was almost like the corpses were like, had some sort of sonar where they were trying to find people.
Yeah, exactly.
It was almost like it was kept in a small tide pool. Like everything keeps on washing to shore. I will say that.
It was a really dark moment for me when What's-His-Face, the doctor, turns to Crystal. And as she's aging, before we can see her face. Because M. Night does a ton of that, like before the audience is revealed.
He won't let you see.
He won't let us see.
Which I thought was actually pretty effective.
I actually did too. But when her husband says to her, put on some makeup.
Yeah.
It was just so dark to me.
Well, he really is using them as like the ugliest of ugly.
Yeah.
You know, like Crystal and I can't remember his name.
Crystal straight up runs when her daughter is giving birth.
Yeah.
She runs and leaves her.
Yeah.
It was just like, oh my God.
Yeah,
these
really
people
weird.
Are really despicable.
This world also, like, people are speaking so close to each other. It's staged like it's a multicam sitcom. Like, everyone's within earshot of each other at all times. I mean, I do love that wave POV where you're in a wave watching a scene, but everyone is saying what they should be whispering just out loud. Like, when the two kids talk to Ken Leung and his wife, they're like, oh, how old are you? And they're like, I'm six. And they're like, oh, these guys are lying to us. Just go with it, honey. Okay, you're six. Like, they're facing them. Like, there's so many moments in this movie where people are like, put some
that
makeup on. Like,
weird.
There's no, yeah. There's,
yeah, that was weird because it was like, they're right. They're literally 2 feet away from you. And it made me feel like, are the kids zombies? Like, when this camera turns around, like, what are we going to see?
Well, and why aren't the kids? Well, this is where I felt like the movie should have cut immediately so that we see the kids are bigger. Everybody sees it. Everybody gets on board. Like, this is this. He tries to like milk this little these moments in the at the end of the first act into the second act as if there's he's teasing it out. And I'm like, we know the conceit of the movie. Everybody is looking at a 6-year-old who's now a 15-year-old. Why are you?
What's going on
right now? Don't be coy. Like, let's get it and go. This is too much wasted time here.
I almost feel like he has a great idea for a movie, but then it's like, so you're like, oh, yes, I have this idea for a movie. It's like a beach and people age. Oh, that's a great idea. Oh, no. And then. Get a girl pregnant. Oh, Clark. Yeah, that's interesting. Oh, and then. Okay, and then the person, like, he keeps on, like, adding on and on and on. And he's like, oh, that's a great idea. So, yeah, I guess it's going to make sense. Oh, well, and then you find out it's actually Big Pharma.
There was a moment at the end. There was a moment where near the end where, like, the parents are dying and the main parents that we've been following. It's really just down to their nuclear family are the only people left. And the parents die. And I was like, wow, we're really getting to it. Okay. And I clicked on the thing and I still had 40 minutes.
Well,
I was
like,
what on earth is going to happen here? This is absurd that there's still so much going on.
Yes.
You know, but I liked the conceit that is inside there. He's very economical. So like the idea that like the setting up the rusty utensils that later Vicky Krieps can use the rusty knife and it will poison Rufus Sewell. And I was like, okay, I like that. I like those little things that are clever uses of the rules or the beach that you've already set up. I thought some of that stuff was really good. I thought it was like, I really liked, like I said, like those moments where Gael Garcia Bernal's eyesight starts going, where she starts to lose her hearing. When aging is a part of it, that starts to get very sad to me. Like that stuff, I was like, ooh, I'm really enjoying this. I agree with you. The children's journey from little kids into like young adults, I was like, this is interesting, but I didn't access that storyline as much as the others, you know, because
I just think that the better version of this is San Junipero, that Black Mirror episode, like where, I mean, it's not exactly the same, but this idea of like where we, what we've let, you know, part of it is regret. Part of it is, you're right. Like, June, I think what you're saying about like what fight is really important after time has passed, like what are these things that we're really concerned about? And when it really comes down to it, you know, what are true connections? I think all that stuff is there, but I feel like it should have had such a more emotionally climactic ending. And what it builds to is just M. Night looking through a telescope. Then you go to this weird lab and then the kids knock over a vial of cocktails. And then it's like, all right, we're sending you home.
It wasn't satisfying. It's like the M. Night classic signature twist just really wasn't satisfying. The twist that it's all like a mega corporation, big pharma mega corporation.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, this is so not personal. Like the twist at the end of The Sixth Sense, which is obviously what he's been chasing ever since he made that movie, is so satisfying in terms of the character, Bruce Willis's character realizing what the stakes of the reveal, which I don't know why I'm not spoiling, but regardless.
Please, I just say, I do want to see it.
He's Luke Skywalker's father.
Oh my God.
So anyway, so it's like, but this is so not personal to the people that we've been following all along, which is to say like, oh, it's Big Pharma and Big Pharma really doesn't care about who has to die in order for their bottom line and their blah, 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 and this, that, and the other. And I was like, oh, well, this is now just a bummer. You've not paid any of the respect to the emotional journey that these people have been on. You don't even really get a very good, satisfying moment for Trent and Maddox, aged 50 or whatever they are at that point, to have a real moment, you know, because he's
that part better.
Oh,
I would have come
God.
In there and I would have really
incredible.
I mean, I would have really gotten in there. What will be so funny is that the tape will be so bad. But I did not know that that was my character. You'll see when, but I could have brought a lot of that. What you're both talking about is what I bring to a project as
well,
an actor.
It's like, and that's the movie that like that's where this movie I feel like could have been great if it had been a little less pleased with its like twists and turns.
Oh, I thought you were gonna say with me
and had a little bit more Paul Scheer in there bringing that bringing that sheer madness to it.
I will say this. We obviously have opinions about this movie. There are people out there with a different opinion. It is now time for second opinions. And that is a old Second Opinions theme. And if you want to hear some older themes and older episodes, every Monday we are releasing an old episode of How Did This Get Made back into the stream. So check it out. We've had Drop Dead Fred, The Island of Dr. Moreau, Halloween 3. We're trying to keep them paired thematically with what we're talking about each week here on the show.
I'm curious if any of our listeners have... How Did This Get Made, either Team Fred or Team Sanity tattoo.
Oh, we have seen some Fred tattoos. I have not yet seen
a Drop Dead Fred tattoo.
Yes, I have not seen a How Did This Get Made.
Yeah. I'm saying, does anybody have Team Fred as a tattoo or Team Sanity as a tattoo?
People definitely don't have Team Sanity because they are not going to do that.
That would be a way. People are too sane, you think?
Yes.
Or are they just crazy enough to do it?
So look, here's the deal, people. These five-star reviews, there are 90 of them.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Because this just came out.
57% are five-star. So this is, you know, people liked it. And here we go. This is from Retired Soldier Sailor. He writes this. Cautionary tale. Nothing is free. A cheap vacation just might be the death of you. I liked it. It made my looking forward to another birthday, 6th of August, 1949, a little less grim for me. Watch it, unless you're nearing your 90th or 100th one.
Oh, boy.
Wow. And he titled this, yes, the story of a bunch of folks that grow older a lot quicker than they wanted to. 5 stars. This one is from Ashley Sanchez. Ashley Sanchez says, I can't wait to watch this one. My husband watched it already. My turn next. 5 stars. So she's getting on.
Hasn't watched it yet, but 5 stars.
5 stars and just the anticipation, like getting out there, just to let people know she's going to get in. This one, from AST says, pro, fun ride, good acting, movie draws you in, con, story could have been more cohesive. Could have done without the nudity. Was there nudity? Just a butt shot,
right? It was just
right?
Like the skinny dipping butt. Woman. Yeah. I think you just see her butt, but that was it.
That was 5 stars there. Yeah. And then, you know, there were a couple of third opinions, which we don't normally do, but these are 1-star reviews. And I just like this one from Ashley Reynolds. I went to the theater to see this movie, and I've never been so disappointed. The only interesting part was the calcium lady, and that was only for 2 seconds.
Oh, my God.
And a lot of people just enjoyed the ride. People have been defending this as a straight-up comedy, and they're like, you should be looking at it as a comedy. Do we agree with that?
No.
Yeah, no, I don't think so.
No, I don't think, I certainly don't think that's the filmmaker's intent.
Yes.
I understand why people might approach it from that point of view, but
Is
I don't
that
think
you
that's
it. Approached your audition, Paul?
Well, as a comedy? Will see. We will see in just a second.
Originally, this was shot as a three-camera sitcom.
Old came out in, it was shot that way. Oh, it was shot like The League was shot. Everyone just standing in a row, like proscenium.
Well, it's so many big, giant, full cast scenes. I was thinking about it. I was like, this scene has 8 people in it on a beach. This must be awful. Oh. Wind, everything must be ADR'd. This must have been crazy.
Yeah, I mean, especially the Philadelphia winter, you have to be in those beach scenes like that. Tagline of this movie was, it's only a matter of time. The budget, $18 million. The opening weekend was $16 million. It actually made $48 million and it made $90 million worldwide. So this is pretty big. It came in 20th out of all the movies made in 2021.
And it must have cost nothing.
Well, the budget, 18.
Mm. Oh, 18, you said.
18,
sorry.
Yeah.
Okay. That's more than I would have thought.
Well, maybe for all the COVID tests. Here's the interesting thing.
Right.
The only time that M. Night has ever done somebody else's work, this is a adaptation of a graphic novel written in 2010 by writer Pierre Oscar Levy, and it's called Sandcastle. And it's that and the other movie we actually did on this show, The Last Airbender. Those are the only two times that he is gone away from his own work to kind of do a pre-existing
Got it.
So that's some of the stuff there. And now you've waited long enough. I haven't watched this since I put this up, and oh my God, I'm nervous. I'm like legit nervous. Please don't judge me on this. I did it by myself. It was late at night.
This is so good.
I'm so upset.
Late at night?
This.
Oh my God.
Oh yeah, because I was like, I was too embarrassed to do it. All right, here we go.
Oh, you look so cute.
So here we go.
Adorable.
All right.
Hola. How is the Kappa family doing this morning?
Oh my God.
Any plans today? Might I suggest this private beach on the nature preserve?
This is amazing.
Find, but it's surrounded by these beautiful rocks and very unusual minerals. Kind of a once in a lifetime experience. Now, I don't recommend this to all the guests, just the ones I like. And I like you guys immediately. I mean, you seem like a really nice family. And I, you know, would love to arrange a van to take you over there if you'd like. Great. Well, it'll be our little secret then. I'll make all the arrangements. Okay. Thank you.
And there you go.
Yeah.
There.
Amazing.
Okay. First of all, are you open to feedback, Paul?
Yes,
can we give notes?
Yes, give me notes.
Okay, first of all, I just adore you. And I'm biased because, I mean, I love that man. I just love you. So there's that. But I do think that in that reading, I knew something was wrong about the excursion. And
don't you think that you got that from the other guy?
In Paul's reading or in
Paul's reading? In Paul's reading.
Okay,
really?
Okay,
I knew something was wrong. Whereas in the movie, I don't remember knowing something was coming that early.
Oh, that's so interesting because my note was going to be the opposite.
Yeah.
My note was going to be this man, the Paul that is in the audition tape, seems to just be, I didn't feel like the underlayer of perhaps sinister that the man who did it in the movie had. The man who did it in the movie had like something felt off.
Well, you're always going to lose out to a redhead.
Look, I'm going to lose out to a redhead.
Is that the case? Always?
Always. Always.
If it's not you, it's a redhead.
Like, forget it.
Forget it.
I also do believe that
that's why I'm always losing parts to the guy that played Tormund Giantsbane on Game of Thrones. He's like me, but redhead.
I will say that because I didn't know anything about the plot. There was nothing given to me. It was like it said resort manager. So I was coming in.
You didn't know that there was
there was nothing
and
given to
like,
me.
And to that end, like you did a great job as like the smiling kind of so good to see you. We have this, we have that, you know,
right.
Like, yeah.
But I will say this. I think at the end of the day, someone who is not American is going to be more interesting in that part because I feel like I I don't read like
there was a brief moment where you said Ola and I was like, is Paul going to be doing a foreign accent?
I played up the Ola. Like I was like, oh, Ola, you know, like I was like, yeah, like just trying to be
but
like
for
like,
a brief second.
It's interesting, though, that I thought it was a little overdone and Jason thought it was a little underdone. So, you know,
just this, let's compare the sinisterness. This just felt like a happy go lucky hotel manager guy.
I would have cast you
in the hotel manager in like Forgetting Sarah Marshall. You know what I mean?
White Lotus. I would take it. I was in that movie.
I was in Forgetting Sarah Marshall. I don't know.
Wow.
That's awesome.
I have been cast in a movie. I've sent out an audition in and I've been cast.
Wow.
Which is always a nice feeling.
So cool.
Yeah.
Well, we've all been cast, right? We can all agree that we've all been cast.
We've all been cast in things usually predicated on an audition.
A lot of times on an audition, you know, but sometimes, you know, people come to us and say, hey, we want to, you know, we want that. And, you know, maybe if, you know, whatever, you know, I don't want to get into any of that.
I thought you did a great job. You look adorable. I mean,
yeah,
I did that all by myself. I cut out everybody else's lines.
I know.
And you were totally off book, which I never am for auditions. Yeah.
That was great. And, you know, I wonder actually if you didn't have the beard, if you would have had a better shot.
Interesting. Like the guy that got the part, though, has a beard.
But a red one, Jason.
But and a red one. You're right.
It's the American thing of it. It's the American thing. I think we've already kind of discussed this, but I'll just go round robin. Would you recommend people watch Old?
Yeah, I enjoyed this movie. This is a movie that I was happy to sit with and be with. And is the impact there at the end? No, absolutely not. It's not, but there's some really interesting themes explored that I was really curious about. It went down very smoothly. I thought it looked beautiful and I was, you know, again, I'm also saying this.
Sounds like it's your favorite movie of the year.
Yeah, wow.
I loved it. In the canon of the movies we watch, I did enjoy watching this movie. Now, does that mean it's amazing? No, but it was a smooth ride for me.
I will say that it was not a slog to get through. And Jason and I both lamented that you weren't here for The Uninvited, because I know you got to watch a lot of that over my shoulder, which is a movie that you were saying that you wish you could have, been on the podcast for. But I do agree that it was not, there are a lot of things about it that are interesting. And I was expecting to be more emotionally impacted. Like I said, I can cry at a commercial. I can cry at a lot. Like it's very easy to push me over the edge. And this one, I felt like it was a cool conception. Pa? No, I'm not. I am having a hard time.
Did you get pushed over the edge by this movie?
I mean,
I guess it brought up a lot of trauma for you because of you didn't get the part. And you didn't get either part.
You know.
But so you think now you're punishing the movie because of that?
I might be looking at it through not rose, whatever the opposite of rose colored glasses are.
Shit colored glasses,
yeah.
I'm going to say, you know, I'm somewhere in between you guys, I think. I certainly enjoyed elements of it. I think the movie is really very much helped by the fact that I think the cast is fantastic. I'm sorry to say that to your face, Paul.
You felt like the casting in the movie across the board, like they nailed Jason,
it. I feel like they nailed it.
Wow.
I feel like they nailed the casting.
I will say this. I will say, honestly,
no one
after
hit a
seeing,
false note.
I will say,
especially the hotel manager and Ken Leong. Like those two performances were flawless. I can't imagine anybody else in the world.
Oh God, damn, this hurts me. I will say this. I don't often hold grudges against parts I don't get, and I didn't in this either. When I did see it, I was like, that guy actually did a great. I mean, he creates an energy, but that was exactly what I said in the beginning. Everyone was a little bit weird and off. And if I would have, like, and that was the thing, there was no twist, because in the beginning, I knew something was not right. Even from when the mom was watching the family through the window, I'm like, things are off.
And that's why I felt like the movie is clumsy. The movie is, you know, like I said, wants to have its cake and eat it too. It's uneven. It's too long. But the performances are so good from both the adults and the kids, especially, that I felt like I enjoyed watching it as well. It's like a good afternoon watch. You know, it's Like, I would not, I would be disappointed if I was like, if I'd gone to the theaters to see this, or if I had like been like, oh, this is going to be my Saturday night movie. I would be like, oh, that's a bummer. This wasn't as good. But if you put this on at like 4 o'clock and just kind of like watch it, I'd be like,
it's 4 o'clock movie.
It's a 4 o'clock movie.
I like 4 o'clock movie and some commercial breaks in there, and you kind of are washing dishes or organizing some vinyl, whatever you want to do.
Yeah, yeah. Washing vinyl, organizing dishes, whatever you're doing.
I think it's also an 8 p.m. to almost 11 manicure pedicure movie.
Yeah, that's
what
I was
sure.
Say,
that's
yeah.
a type of movie I don't understand. Yeah. You know, I don't have that, but I get either. What you mean. Yes. I think people will have fun if you've listened to this and you're intrigued. Yeah, it's a one idea movie. It's a to Paul's point, it's a Twilight Zone episode, and it's not bad. It it could have been even way better.
I wonder if it was rushed into production, you know, yeah. or something, because I think that there could have been some edges smoothed off. Because even the big pharma ideas, and it's all interesting. If I sat down and told you this, you'd be, that's a cool idea for a movie. The premise is more interesting, I think, than some of the execution, even though I feel like the actors are doing their best to get above all of that.
Yes.
Now, look, you might have a different opinion about this. You might want to talk to me about this. You might want to talk about your life. You might want to talk about this movie. You can do that. Give me a call at 619-PAUL-ASK. That's 619-PAUL-ASK. We'll play it on the mini episodes. We'll talk about your problems. We'll talk about this movie. You can also get on our Discord at discord.gg/HETGM, where we have our new home, and it's very easy to sign up. It's totally free. Everyone's been loving it. We have great mods there. It's a safe space, and you can check that out. I also want to plug, and I'm going to go first on plugging right now, our friend, a friend of the show, How Did This Get Made All-Star, Seth Rogen, has a podcast called Storytime out, which is really fantastic. It's this deep dive into people's weird stories, from being attacked by a bear to listening to David Crosby talk about his friendship with George Harrison. They're very produced stories, with Seth as this like narrator, circus kind of ringleader, bringing you through this like story that comes to life in this podcast. The podcast is called Storytime, and I am on this week's episode. It's called The Crappiest Place on Earth, and it's all about me finding out that I am lactose intolerant at Disney World when I was a child. So
it's hilarious. I listened to it. I loved it.
That's great. I'm excited.
So it is available right now. You can listen to it. Is called Storytime with Seth Rogen. Yeah.
When you said earlier that it was based on a graphic novel.
Yes.
And you said it was called Sandcastle.
Yes.
Boom.
Whoa. Oh, wow. You have it there.
I own this book.
Have you not read it?
I did not put it together. I think I read it years ago. I think I read it years ago and literally didn't put it together until you said Sandcastle. And I was like, oh, wait a minute. I know that.
Wow. Well, you have to get back on the mini episode, read it, and let's have a little discussion,
absolutely.
A little talk back about it.
Yeah, we'll totally talk about it. It's so funny. You said that, wow. And that was the trigger in my brain that was like, oh, wait, I own that book.
I love that. June, what do you got going on?
So this weekend, the Jane Club is hosting our second one-day virtual writer's retreat. It's November 7th at 10 a.m. for 3 hours. Everybody comes together to sort of step away from all the daily distractions, and we read some poems and listen to prompts, and then have timed writing sessions, option to share, receive feedback. Everyone's welcome. You do not need any previous writing experience, but space is limited. We have a couple spots left. If you head to JaneClub/special events, or just head to JaneClub.com and you can click on events and register.
I love that. And these actually are really fun. I've only spoken to everyone who has left that feeling. They actually were
amazing,
so productive. Yeah.
Yeah,
they're really, really fun. Jason, what do you got?
The new animated show Star Trek Prodigy is out. It's on Paramount Plus. I play one of the crew members on this kind of younger skewing kind of team of Star Trek adventurers. It's kind of in the mold of like Avatar: The Last Airbender or Star Wars Rebels. It's a great inside Star Trek canon. Kate Mulgrew reprising her Captain Janeway character, and it's a really fun kids adventure show. And also,
Jason.
Yeah, go ahead.
With that, it puts you,
yes,
me, and June all in Star Trek. We all now live in the same Star Trek universe.
And I was I have been watching Lower Decks, and it is, I'm plugging my Star Trek show, but now I'm going to plug yours. I'm almost through season one of Lower Decks, and it is also on Paramount Plus, and it is fantastic.
Really funny, right?
It's so funny. It's such a good show. I'm loving it. So I will also plug, I'll plug both of our Star Trek shows, both Prodigy and Lower, because season two of Lower Decks just came out recently, right?
Yes. And it's, we're at work on season three right now. So it's
also, real quick, after we end this podcast, I'm going to hop off right now. I'm so excited because we are about to get our children vaccinated today.
Oh, great.
I know that's opened up for all kids five and up. And I just encourage everybody, if they're eligible, if your kids are eligible, to please get them vaccinated. I want to just cry for 10 hours about how happy I am that children will finally, finally get some protection.
And if we raise enough money, that is a new Patreon level where June will cry for 10 hours on air.
I just might.
isn't a plug, but watching this movie made me think of, there's a Mike Mills who made Beginners it has the new movie Come On, Come On coming out. He, along with the band The National, made a short film that's like 27 minutes long, and it's called I Am Easy to Find. It's on YouTube.
Oh, whoa.
And I thought of it while watching this movie because it unfolds over the course of one person's entire life. And so that is the story. So it is about aging. It is about it's a much better piece of art that gets at a lot of the themes that are inside of this movie. It are much more interestingly explored in this short film that Mike Mills did with the band The National. Alicia Vikander stars in it, and it is incredible. I cannot recommend it enough. It is called I Am Easy to Find, and it's on YouTube. So you can just watch the whole thing.
And it is different than the album. This is just the
single black and white short.
A big shout out to our super producer, Cody, our audio engineer, Devin, our amazing movie picking producer, Avril Halley, our researcher, Nate Kiley, our quality control, July Diaz, and our MVP, Molly Reynolds. I want to say thank you to all the people who do the art for the show. That is Kyle Waldron. And of course, Zach McAleese, who is the ghost of Craig T. Nelson on Instagram. Like I said, join us in the mini episode. Maybe Jason will be there. We'll talk some more. We'll hear about this comic book and give us a call at 619-PAUL-ASK. That's 619-PAUL-ASK. And you can listen to the entire archive of How Did This Get Made commercial free if you sign up for a Stitcher premium subscription. And you can use the offer code BONKERS to do just that. Thank you so much for listening. And we'll see you next week on a mini episode as we hear your issues or your theories about old and also what's going on in your life. Because we got big problems that need to be solved. All right, everybody. We'll see you next time. Bye for now.